观众朋友们大家好，今天是6月5号星期五，欢迎收看美国观察。美国国务卿蓬佩奥本周早些时候在国务院会晤六四幸存者。国务院发言人摩根奥特加斯星期四在接受美国之音专访中表示，蓬佩奥是第一位在任内这么做的美国国务卿。他还说，31年前中共屠杀自己的人民，美国不会忘记六四。下面我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥星期二在国务院会晤89名学生领袖以及六四幸存者，包括李兰菊、苏小康、王丹以及李恒清。美国国务院发言人摩根奥特加斯表示，美国向勇敢捍卫民主、人权和革除腐败社会的中国人民表示敬意。奥特加斯星期四接受美国之音专访，他说，这是30年来第一次由美国国务卿在任内通过正式会面的方式来纪念六四。
We will continue, as I am in media interviews, to talk about the massacre. We believe that 2 days ago was the first time that a sitting Secretary of State met with Tiananmen survivors on the anniversary to commemorate it. And I think that that action speaks very, very loudly to the entire world that Secretary Pompeo and I were hosting these Tiananmen survivors, and the pictures, the stories,were harrowing, and we promise to continue to tell their story to the world. It won't be forgotten. We remember Tiananmen.
香港官方今年并未批准一年一度的六四烛光晚会。与此同时，由亲中建制派控制的香港立法会在6月4号三读通过一项遭到泛民议员反对的国歌法，其中规定，如果侮辱中国国歌，可被判处罚款和服刑。批评人士认为，这是北京加紧对香港的控制。奥特加斯说，这是过去一年以来中国打破对一国两制承诺的最新例子。
And unfortunately, we have seen over the past several weeks, action after action, the one that you just spoke about, where China is once again showing the world that they break their promises, that they have empty commitments, and they never intend to keep their word. So we remain very concerned at the State Department.
在美国舆论谴责执法过当，非裔男子乔治·弗洛伊德因此死亡，并且发生全国性反种族歧视抗议活动的同时，大体来说是和平的抗议，也出现了极端分子煽风点火的现象。美国政府密切关注包括中国、俄罗斯以及伊朗等外部势力是否趁机散播不实讯息。奥特加斯说，美国知道一些国家正趁机进行比较，尝试在美国播下不和谐的种子。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
今年是六四事件31周年，美国国会暨行政当局中国委员会主席发表声明，呼吁中国政府正视历史。还有议员表示说，中国的政治改革道路虽然艰辛，但是不能放弃。我们来看美国之音国会记者李毅华发自国会山上的报道。
美国国会暨行政当局中国委员会两位共同主席，包括民主党众议员麦戈文和共和党参议员卢比奥，在北京时间6月4号凌晨就1989年六四事件31周年纪念发表联合声明，呼吁中国政府面对历史，允许人民拥有自由的权利，并且尽快无条件释放仍在关押的政治犯。议员在声明当中写道，可悲的是中国共产党当年使用军力驱散在天安门广场上的和平示威者，并粉碎了他们对权力和改革的和平诉求。时至今日，所有有关那场抗议暴力镇压的纪念和讨论仍被审查。两位委员会主席同时呼吁北京当局面对历史，要求中华人民共和国政府对死亡和失踪者的情况做出公开交代，并允许人民公开讨论及研究1989年六月四号前后所发生的一切事件。卢比奥参议员在接受美国之音采访时表示，他认为中国政治改革的道路虽然艰难，但是不能够放弃希望。我们来听听卢比奥参议员怎么说。
It's a very difficult task. I have no doubt that there are people in China that want a different way. It's not an easy environment in which to operate or speak out.But I can tell you that if we give up on that hope, then it's certainly dead. So obviously our number one priority is U.S. policy and what it means for our country. But as far as I'm concerned, and certainly me personally, we'll always be a voice on behalf of freedom and liberty anywhere in the world where there are people calling them.
此外，两党议员也对于香港30年来首度无法举行年度六四悼念活动表示担忧。我们继续来听听卡丁参议员的说法。
But it's moving in the wrong direction. It should have been autonomous. It should have had universal voting. It should have had a lot of things in place. Instead, you see China moving it more towards its repressive policies on human rights that you see in mainland China. It's not the same, but it's moving in the wrong direction.
此外，还有议员表示，北京不断收紧中国和香港各种权利和自由的做法，将严重影响未来美中关系的发展。以上是美国之音记者李一华发自国会山的采访报道。
前六四学生领袖王丹举行线上六四纪念会，期间因为不明的原因两次断线。王丹说，这场抗争进入了网络化，上一代的学运分子和新时代携手合作，努力为争取中国的人权而努力。
前六四学生领袖王丹在线上举行六四31周年纪念会。他说，虽然历经31年的风雨坎坷，但1989年的热情和精神长存众人心中。结束专制，改变中国，不但是经历六四一代人的理想，也将是年轻世代的愿望。
不管时间多么漫长，我们一定会做到8个字，那就是永不忘记，永不放弃。我们也更希望跟年轻世代合作，共同努力，让中国人可以活得有自由、有尊严。我认为这才是对30年前的那些死难者最好的纪念。
纪念会直播过程中，两次因不明原因断线。王丹说，这显示抗争进入新的阶段。
今天这个会好像正像我们中国民主走过道路一样，这个非常的曲折坎坷。如果说我们过去进行了街头抗争的话，现在我们可能进入到一场新的这种抗争，网络的抗争了。
曾因六四两次入狱的中国民主党全国委员会共同主席王军涛，在与60多人车队从纽约前来华盛顿中国大使馆抗议的路上，参与了这场纪念会。他强调，让年轻一代了解历史真相的重要。
只要专制不结束，中共是不可能重新评价1989年的民主运动，需要行动。所以在最近的几年，我把主要的注意力又放在如何能够通过行动结束共产党的暴政，通过行动去唤醒更多的年轻人。
与会的民主人士胡平表示，近期美国的抗议活动不断，有人将特朗普总统此前表示可能出动军队与六四天安门事件做比较。他说，两者之间毫无可比性，应借此机会向中国年轻人说明真相。
不管今天下面美国政府会做些什么事情，不管我们对于美国政府要做的事情做怎么样的评价，我想它都不会改变一个最基本的事实，那就是在美国发生的事情和当年的六四根本不是同一个性质啊，绝对不能相提并论啊。另外也要关于很多对于一些年轻人，尤其是对于长期以来受到中共的宣传，因而对六四有所误解的人，这里我觉得也是再一个说明的一个很好的机会。那么和我们看到的包括在美国发生的这些事件不一样。
胡平说，31年来每年最令中国政府害怕、最让天安门母亲欣慰的，便是香港维园的10万烛光。人在维园的香港众志秘书长黄之锋通过视频表示，香港人会像亲历六四的前辈一样，在争取民主自由的路上继续努力。美国之音许湘云、宁露华盛顿报道。
自1989年以来，香港民众每年都会在铜锣湾维多利亚公园举行六四烛光晚会纪念活动。香港也是唯一能够公开举行纪念六四事件活动的中国领土。但是今年香港政府以新冠病毒疫情大流行期间要继续保持社交距离为由，禁止8个人以上的聚集。香港支联会申请在维多利亚公园举行六四烛光晚会的申请被拒绝。尽管香港的新冠病毒确诊病例已经得到控制，学校已经复课，海滩、酒吧、发廊也重新开放。在台湾，台湾总统蔡英文6月4号在其脸书上说，在中国每一年只有364个日子，有一天被遗忘掉了。蔡英文说，过去在台湾，我们也曾经有许多的日子不能出现在日历上面，但是我们一个一个把它们找回来了。因为我们不再隐匿历史，所以我们可以共同思索未来。希望这个世界上每一个角落、每一片土地都不要再有消失的日子。 美国国会一位重量级议员表示，已经在众议院通过的2019西藏政策与支持法案有望在年底前完成立法程序。来看报道。
美国国会及行政当局中国委员会 CECC 共同主席、民主党众议员麦戈文星期三在一个与藏人青年交流的网络座谈会上表示，2019西藏政策与支持法案预计很快会在参议院进行表决。
Thanks to the strong outside mobilization and engagement of Tibetans, it is my expectation that the Senate Foreign Relations Committee will consider this legislation in the coming weeks so that we can send the bill to the president for a signature.And signing this bill into law would send a clear signal on the direction of future U.S. policy toward Tibet that we hope will be replicated internationally. I am very hopeful that we will get this through the entire process this year.
2019西藏政策与支持法案由麦戈文议员和 CECC 另一位主席共和党参议员卢比奥在去年九月共同提出，法案今年一月在众议院以压倒性票数获得通过。这项法案规定，中共官员不得干涉未来包括达赖喇嘛在内的藏传佛教领袖的转世问题，否则美方将予以制裁。法案还要求美国政府推动在拉萨设立领事馆。2018年，国会通过《西藏旅行对等法案》，并由特朗普总统签署成为法律。参加座谈会的美国国务院宗教自由无任所大使布朗贝克说，这些立法行动向世界和中国发出明确信号。
It tells the rest of the world this is a bipartisan subject that will continue from administration to administration because there's no division on it. They usually pass by very large numbers in the Congress, and it gives extra teeth on these policies. And particularly now, as you're seeing this growing discussion and determination of how do we address the issue of the U.S.-Chinese relationship, and...If China is going to continue to act this way, we're going to more aggressively push back against it.
中国对涉藏法案表示强烈不满，称美国通过西藏问题干涉中国内政。麦戈文议员说，2015年的西藏之行让他更加坚定了要为藏人争取人权的决心。他当时是众议院民主党领袖佩洛西率领的国会西藏访问团的成员。
We visited some of the historic sites. They've rewritten history. I mean, There's no indication that the current Dalai Lama even exists. You can't buy a book by him. You can't have a picture of him with you. I think there's concern that the culture and the traditions and the religion and the language is slowly being kind of wiped out. And many of the Tibetan monks.That we interacted with privately pulled us aside and asked us to please pass on their best regards to His Holiness the Dalai Lama.
麦戈文说，令人遗憾的是，西藏现在的状况还在继续恶化。在这场由国际声援西藏运动举办的座谈会上，两位政界领袖赞赏藏人青年为促进西藏人权所做的努力，他们鼓励年轻藏人继续为自己所关心的议题发声。美国之音墨语，华盛顿报道。
国防部长马克·埃斯珀星期三表示，他不支持动用现役军人平息和平抗议中出现的骚乱。此前，特朗普总统威胁要派遣军队镇压席卷全美的大规模抗议活动。
星期三，在美国主要城市继续出现主要是和平的大规模抗议活动，数以万计的民众违反宵禁命令，不顾新冠疫情威胁，对种族主义和警察暴力表示愤慨。这个星期早些时候，美国总统特朗普威胁援引一项法律，允许他授权现役部队无需各州州长同意而平息抗议活动。国防部长埃斯珀挑战总统的威胁，称现役部队只应在最紧急和最严峻的情况下动用。
We are not in one of those situations now. I do not support invoking the Insurrection Act.
星期三上午，埃斯珀命令200名被部署到华盛顿的现役士兵在2天的和平示威发生后返回营地，但是他在白宫开会几个小时后又突然推翻先前的决定。埃斯珀还避免了和特朗普到白宫附近教堂手举圣经留影的访问。在这次访问之前，警察用闪光手榴弹和化学喷雾剂驱散了示威人群，此举以及特朗普对抗议活动的整体处理方式损害了他的支持率。
We're in the middle of social unrest as intense as we've seen since the 1960s. This is not a good atmosphere and environment for a president to run for re-election. So he's going to have to do a lot of things to get back on track and perhaps to become the front runner again, because as of today, he is not the front runner.
骚乱的出现源于乔治·弗洛伊德之死。这名黑人被一名白人警官用膝盖压着他的脖子超过8分钟后死亡。包括卡特、小布什和克林顿在内的所有健在的美国前总统都表示了谴责。前总统奥巴马在一个虚拟市政厅大会上督促市长们审查各自城市中的武力使用情况。
That was a far more representative cross-section of America out on the streets peacefully protesting and who felt movedto do something because of the injustices that they had seen.
抗议活动凸显了美国种族不平等的多种体系。
And that's connected to housing, it's connected to employment, it's connected to public schools. We often talk about public school to prison pipeline. So it's not just about sentencing or bad policing or police cameras. There's so many people out in the streets because something is fundamentally wrong.And broken in the system for millions of Americans.
明尼苏达州警官德里克·肖文的罪名已提高至2级谋杀，这是指缺乏预谋的故意谋杀。现场的3名警官被控协助和怂恿谋杀案。美国之音维达·库斯瓦拉，华盛顿报道。
美国各州逐渐重启经济，但是专家们依然担心新冠疫情会继续蔓延。与此同时，抗议示威也席卷全美，迫使一些病毒的检测点关闭。来看报道。
西北大学全球卫生研究所所长罗伯特·莫菲博士在封锁措施下的芝加哥住所办公室里观察着整个美国的动荡时，开始怀疑大家是否突然忘记了全国正在应对危险的新冠疫情。
COVID doesn't care about politics. It just likes to jump from person to person. So you're putting yourself at risk.
这也是芝加哥市长莱特富特在每天例行发布会上向公众反映的信息。这一天也是他在推进放松城市限制计划的同一天，尽管动荡仍在继续。
That risk is real, it is present, and it will be with us for the foreseeable future. And you need to take the precautions, not only just to protect yourself, but for others in your network, in your home that you care about. Because now,You are at heightened risk of COVID-19.
This is just setting us backwards. So instead of being able to control the virus, like we had hoped, now it's either going to plateau, maybe go up a little bit, but whatever it is, it's pushing us way down the timeline.
不断增加的暴力和破坏风险迫使伊利诺伊公共卫生部门暂时关闭了社区新冠检测设施。延迟了阳性测试结果的通知，干扰了医学界追踪病毒传播的能力。
It'll obviously go down because we're not testing as many people. People are afraid to go out. You can't even get anywhere near the downtown. And you know, just there's flare-ups all around the city. So you know, people they're staying home now more than ever.
拉什大学医学与传染病副教授林博士说，当人群消退时，检测可能会恢复到抗疫前的水平，但是美国最近的动荡对病毒传播的影响不会很快被认识到。
If there's any spike, it may happen, you know, sometime about a week or 2 weeks after the gatherings, and that's usually about the time it takes for the infection to incubate, manifest symptoms, and become severe enough so that people end up needing hospital care.
但是林博士给人们带来了一线希望。他说病毒在抗疫人群中传播可能受限。
We know that a lot of spread tends to happen in indoor areas where there's poor ventilation. In the outdoors, with the air blowing around, there may be less risk of spread. With the sun being out, you know, UV rays can actually also kill the virus. But when it comes to transmission, it's really difficult to predict.
示威现场的视频显示，口罩的使用广泛但不普遍。口罩可以限制病菌进入空气中。
So it only works if everybody is wearing a mask.
随着美国新冠病毒感染的数量接近200万，一些美国人在行使示威权利的同时，权衡了健康风险。同时，民意测验数据仍显示，多数人认为抑制新冠病毒应作为优先事项。美国之音记者法拉报，芝加哥报道。
全国各地的抗疫持续不断，但是美国正在慢慢摆脱新冠疫情的危机。州长们告诉国会议员，重新开放美国的第一阶段进展顺利，但是仍然需要更多的资源。
全国各地城市成千上万的民众在游行，人群密集引发关注，担心抗疫活动可能造成第二轮新冠疫情。白宫新冠病毒特别工作组负责人说，扩大测试范围将有助于防止病毒扩散。
So that the individuals who are involved in the peaceful protests can get tested and really know their status before they unknowingly spread it.
新冠病毒在美国夺去了105,000多人的性命，对有色人种的影响尤为严重。随着抗议活动的进行，八个州和哥伦比亚特区的选民在星期二的初选中要保持社交距离。这是所有50个州分阶段重新开放公共场所的一部分。科罗拉多州为重新开业欢呼。该州州长告诉议员，科罗拉多需要知道在重新开放的过程中他将获得什么资源。
If we're going to plan in coordination with our federal partners, we need to make sure we have all the cards on the table. Everybody knows exactly what we're going to get when, what we're not going to get when, and then the states try to fill in the holes.
一些州和地方领导人表示，如果病毒秋季回潮，春季的居家令将不再是选项。
We can't go back and say we're going to all be shut down. We've got to go into the fall, recognize there could be another wave, but we can't go back into sheltering in place.We have to be able to manage through this risk, and that is through the testing, that is through the contact tracing, and that's through the social distancing until we get a vaccine.
自从居家令导致大部分经济停滞以来，已有超过4000万美国人申请失业救济。国会民主党人说，到目前为止，已经通过的超过3万亿美元的援助仍然不够。
I think we need a big, strong, bold bill. I support COVID for.
但是参议院共和党人希望稍等片刻，看看已经通过的援助是如何运作的，并称他们将在7月份考虑增加纾困金。美国之音吉普森华盛顿报道。
由于目前依然没有新冠疫苗，许多人认为美国人在11月3日投票选举总统时仍然需要保持社交距离。与此同时，通过邮寄投票和缺席投票的规则成了新冠病毒期间政治斗争的重点。
新冠病毒以及随之相伴的社交距离，为那些想通过邮寄投票扩大美国选民能力的人提供了助力。特朗普总统则带头反对。
Mail-in ballots are very dangerous. There's tremendous fraud involved and tremendous illegality.
特朗普威胁要停止向密西根和内华达提供联邦资金，因为这两个州向所有登记选民发送了缺席选票的申请表。
You can't do that. You got to go and vote.People have to check you. They have to see that it's you. They're supposed to look at you and check you.
专家说，通过邮寄投票欺诈的情况很少见。民主党人担心新冠疫情将阻止选民前往投票站。
We want to have more money for our election, vote by mail, initiatives.
总统表示，扩大邮寄投票将有利于民主党，这意味着再也选不出共和党人。
The Democrats think, perhaps with reason, that their voters are more apt to, their vote is more apt to be enlarged by making voting easier. Republicans probably feel, perhaps with reason, that impediments and difficulties are a kind of filter to keep the less ardent voters at home.
研究表明，邮寄投票不会给任何一方带来优势。
The universal experience of vote by mail states and no excuse absentee voting states is that allowing that additional means of voting increases turnout across the board for both Democrats and Republicans by about 8 percentage points.
缺席投票始于1864年，当时美国内战双方的各州都允许士兵从战场上投票选举总统。 自那时以来，各州对于服役、残障和选举日州外旅行等原因都允许缺席投票。俄勒冈州于1998年成为第一个通过邮寄方式投票的州，华盛顿、科罗拉多、犹他和夏威夷等州也紧随其后。29个州允许进行无请假缺席投票，也就是任何提出要求的人都可以得到满足。现在仍然需要提出有效理由的16个州中，有很多州把新冠病毒也算了进去，但不是所有的州。
Voters shouldn't have to risk their safety and their health and the health and safety of their loved ones in order to exercise their fundamental right to vote.
威斯康辛州拒绝推迟4月份的初选，大约有40万选民参加了投票，至少有36名选民和选举工作人员新冠病毒检测呈阳性。美国之音雷迪什华盛顿报道。
新冠病毒流行期间，大多数人都居家防疫。不过对于大卡车司机来说，他们依然要一天24个小时都在路上。我们跟着记者一起去了解一下。
My truck is a Kenworth truck. There's two of us. The truck never stops. It only stops for fuel.
他们是长途运输的主力，方向盘后面的男人和女人以及他们驾驶的大卡车重达36000公斤。帕瑟拉开的是18轮大卡车，他为联邦快递拉了2个拖车，这是他的卧铺，在驾驶座后方的空间。
This is their home away from home. Coffee pot, supplies, a bed.
由于商店和道路旁饭馆的关闭，他不得不在冰箱里存放家里的剩菜。帕瑟拉开了11个小时的车后休息30分钟，再由第二位司机接手。他在另一位司机开车时睡觉，他们称之为水平移动。
And here's all the horses.
帕瑟拉多次开进休息站，淋浴间都因为疫情关闭，大部分商店的洗手液、湿巾和口罩都卖完了。他的副驾驶的妻子送给他这个自制口罩。
You know, when you're in a truck cooped up all the time, there's not much room for the germs to go. You're right there together all the time. So if one of us gets sick, the other one's going to be sick.
I've been a truck driver since 2008.
托尼·法兹尼是美国中大西洋地区的当地货运司机。
We've hauled all kinds of different things. Like, for instance, I just dropped off a load of wooden pallets.At a Kraft Foods.
他每天开14个小时的车，在夜幕低垂时回家。新冠疫情使得城市地区的交通不再阻塞，这会让卡车司机产生一种奇怪的感觉。
I'll be on the interstate and look over the shopping mall and the parking lot's deserted, and the roads are there's no traffic out. At the end of the world were to happen, this is kind of like what it would be like.
卡车司机可能有点孤单，不过他们知道自己做的事情对国家福祉至关重要。
If the trucks don't move, the hospitals don't get supplies, the doctors don't get the PPE, no one gets anything. The world will come to a screeching halt.
在新冠病毒大流行的时期，还有更多的无名英雄正在默默付出。美国之音普雷苏蒂报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。 观众朋友们大家好，今天是6月5号星期五，欢迎收看美国观察。美国国务卿蓬佩奥本周早些时候在国务院会晤六四幸存者。国务院发言人摩根奥特加斯星期四在接受美国之音专访中表示，蓬佩奥是第一位在任内这么做的美国国务卿。他还说，31年前中共屠杀自己的人民，美国不会忘记六四。下面我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥星期二在国务院会晤八九民运学生领袖以及六四幸存者，包括李兰菊、苏小康、王丹以及李恒清。美国国务院发言人摩根奥特加斯表示，美国向勇敢捍卫民主、人权和革除腐败社会的中国人民表示敬意。奥特加斯星期四接受美国之音专访，他说，这是30年来第一次由美国国务卿在任内通过正式会面的方式来纪念六四。
We will continue as I am in media interviews to talk about the massacre. We believe that 2 days ago was the first time that a sitting Secretary of State met with Tiananmen survivors on the anniversary to commemorate it. And I think that that action speaks very, very loudly to the entire world that Secretary Pompeo and I were hosting these Tiananmen survivors and the pictures, the stories.We're harrowing, and we promise to continue to tell their story to the world. It won't be forgotten. We remember Tiananmen.
香港官方今年并未批准一年一度的六四烛光晚会。与此同时，由亲中建制派控制的香港立法会在6月4号三读通过一项遭到泛民议员反对的国歌法，其中规定，如果侮辱中国国歌，可被判处罚款和服刑。批评人士认为，这是北京加紧对香港的控制。奥特加斯说，这是过去一年以来中国打破对一国两制承诺的最新例子。
And unfortunately, we have seen over the past several weeks, action after action, the one that you just spoke about, where China is once again showing the world that they break their promises, that they have empty commitments, and they never intend to keep their word. So we remain very concerned at the State Department.
在美国舆论谴责执法过当，非裔男子乔治·弗洛伊德因此死亡，并且发生全国性反种族歧视抗议活动的同时，大体来说是和平的抗议，也出现了极端分子煽风点火的现象。美国政府密切关注包括中国、俄罗斯以及伊朗等外部势力是否趁机散播不实讯息。奥特加斯说，美国知道一些国家正趁机进行比较，尝试在美国播下不和谐的种子。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
今年是六四事件31周年，美国国会暨行政当局中国委员会主席发表声明，呼吁中国政府正视历史。还有议员表示说，中国的政治改革道路虽然艰辛，但是不能放弃。我们来看美国之音国会记者李毅华发自国会山上的报道。
美国国会暨行政当局中国委员会两位共同主席，包括民主党众议员麦戈文和共和党参议员卢比奥，在北京时间6月4号凌晨就1989年六四事件31周年纪念发表联合声明，呼吁中国政府面对历史，允许人民拥有自由的权利，并且尽快无条件释放仍在关押的政治犯。议员在声明当中写道，可悲的是中国共产党当年使用军力驱散在天安门广场上的和平示威者，并粉碎了他们对权力和改革的和平诉求。时至今日，所有有关那场抗议暴力镇压的纪念和讨论仍被审查。两位委员会主席同时呼吁北京当局面对历史，要求中华人民共和国政府对死亡和失踪者的情况做出公开交代，并允许人民公开讨论及研究1989年六月四号前后所发生的一切事件。卢比奥参议员在接受美国之音采访时表示，他认为中国政治改革的道路虽然艰难，但是不能够放弃希望。我们来听听卢比奥参议员怎么说。
It's a very difficult task. I have no doubt that there are people in China that want a different way. It's not an easy environment in which to operate or speak out.But I can tell you that if we give up on that hope, then it's certainly dead. So obviously our number one priority is U.S. policy and what it means for our country. But as far as I'm concerned, and certainly me personally, will always be a voice on behalf of freedom and liberty anywhere in the world where there are people calling.
此外，两党议员也对于香港30年来首度无法举行年度六四悼念活动表示担忧。我们继续来听听卡丁参议员的说法。
But it's moving in the wrong direction. It should have been autonomous. It should have had universal voting. It should have had a lot of things in place. Instead, you see China moving it more towards its repressive policies on human rights that you see in mainland China. It's not the same, but it's moving in the wrong direction.
此外，还有议员表示，北京不断收紧中国和香港各种权利和自由的做法，将严重影响未来美中关系的发展。以上是美国之音记者李一华发自国会山的采访报道。
前六四学生领袖王丹举行线上六四纪念会，期间因为不明的原因两次断线。王丹说，这场抗争进入了网络化，上一代的学运分子和新世代携手合作，努力为争取中国的人权而努力。
前六四学生领袖王丹在线上举行六四31周年纪念会，他说，虽然历经31年的风雨坎坷，但1989年的热情和精神长存众人心中。结束专制，改变中国，不但是经历六四一代人的理想，也将是年轻世代的愿望。
不管时间多漫长，我们一定会做到8个字，那就是永不忘记，永不放弃。我们也更希望跟年轻世代合作，共同努力，让中国人可以活得有自由、有尊严。我认为这才是对30年前的那些死难者最好的纪念。
纪念会直播过程中，两次因不明原因断线。王丹说，这显示抗争进入新的阶段。
今天这个会好像像我们中国民主走的道路一样，这个非常的曲折坎坷。如果说我们过去进行了街头抗争的话，现在我们可能进入到一场新的这种抗争，网络的抗争了。
曾因六四两次入狱的中国民主党全国委员会共同主席王军涛，在与60多人车队从纽约前来华盛顿中国大使馆抗议的路上，参与了这场纪念会。他强调，让年轻一代了解历史真相的重要。
只要专制不结束，中共是不可能重新评价1989年的民主运动，需要行动。所以在最近的几年，我把主要的注意力又放在如何能够通过行动结束共产党的暴政，通过行动去唤醒更多的年轻人。
与会的民主人士胡平表示，近期美国的抗议活动不断，有人将特朗普总统此前表示可能出动军队与六四天安门事件做比较。他说，两者之间毫无可比性，应借此机会向中国年轻人说明真相。
不管今天下面美国政府会做些什么事情，不管我们对于美国政府要做的事情做怎么样的评价，我想他都不会改变一个最基本的事实，那就是在美国发生的事情和当年的六四根本不是同一个性质啊，绝对不能相提并论啊。另外也关于很多对于一些年轻人，尤其是对于长期以来受到中共的宣传，因而对六四有所误解的人，这里我觉得也是在一个说明的一个很好的机会。那么，和我们看到的，包括在美国发生的这些事件不一样。
胡平说，31年来，每年最令中国政府害怕、最让天安门母亲欣慰的，便是香港维园的10万烛光。人在维园的香港众志秘书长黄之锋通过视频表示，香港人会像亲历六四的前辈一样，在争取民主自由的路上继续努力。美国之音许湘云、明路华盛顿报道。
自1989年以来，香港民众每年都会在铜锣湾维多利亚公园举行六四烛光晚会纪念活动。香港也是唯一能够公开举行纪念六四事件活动的中国领土。但是今年香港政府以新冠病毒疫情大流行期间要继续保持社交距离为由，禁止8个人以上的聚集。香港支联会申请在维多利亚公园举行六四烛光晚会的申请被拒绝。尽管香港的新冠病毒确诊病例已经得到控制，学校已经复课，海滩、酒吧、发廊也重新开放。在台湾，台湾总统蔡英文6月4号在其脸书上说，在中国每一年只有364个日子，有一天被遗忘掉了。蔡英文说，过去在台湾我们也曾经有许多的日子不能出现在日历上面，但是我们一个一个把它们找回来了，因为我们不再隐匿历史，所以我们可以共同思索未来。希望这个世界上每一个角落、每一片土地都不要再有消失的日子。美国国会一位重量级议员表示， 已经在众议院通过的2019西藏政策与支持法案有望在年底前完成立法程序。来看报道。
美国国会及行政当局中国委员会 CECC 共同主席民主党众议员麦戈文星期三在一个与藏人青年交流的网络座谈会上表示，2019西藏政策与支持法案预计很快会在参议院进行表决。
Thanks to the strong outside mobilization and engagement of Tibetans, it is my expectation that the Senate Foreign Relations Committee will consider this legislation in the coming weeks so that we can send the bill to the president for a signature. And signing this bill into law would send a clear signal on the direction of future U.S. policy toward Tibet that we hope will be replicated internationally. I am very hopeful that we will get this through the entire process this year.
2019西藏政策与支持法案由麦戈文议员和 CECC 另一位主席共和党参议员卢比奥在去年9月共同提出，法案今年1月在众议院以压倒性票数获得通过。这项法案规定中共官员不得干涉未来包括达赖喇嘛在内的藏传佛教领袖的准事问题，否则美方将予以制裁。法案还要求美国政府推动在拉萨设立领事馆。2018年，国会通过《西藏旅行对等法案》，并由特朗普总统签署成为法律。参加座谈会的美国国务院宗教自由无任所大使布朗贝克说：“这些立法行动向世界和中国发出明确信号。
It tells the rest of the world this is a bipartisan subject that will continue from administration to administration because there's no division on it. They usually pass by very large numbers in the Congress.”And it gives extra teeth on these policies, and particularly now as you're seeing this growing discussion and determination of how do we address the issue of the U.S.-Chinese relationship. If China is going to continue to act this way, we're going to more aggressively push back against it.
中国对涉藏法案表示强烈不满，称美国通过西藏问题干涉中国内政。麦戈文议员说，2015年的西藏之行让他更加坚定了要为藏人争取人权的决心。他当时是众议院民主党领袖佩洛西率领的国会西藏访问团的成员。
We visited some of the historic sites. They've rewritten history. I mean, there's no indication that the current Dalai Lama even exists. You can't buy a book by him. You can't have a picture.Of him with you. I think there's concern that the culture and the traditions and the religion and the language is slowly being kind of wiped out. And many of the Tibetan monks that we interacted with privately pulled us aside and asked us to please pass on their best regards to His Holiness the Dalai Lama.
麦戈文说，令人遗憾的是，西藏现在的状况还在继续恶化。在这场由国际声援西藏运动举办的座谈会上，两位政界领袖赞赏藏人青年为促进西藏人权所做的努力，他们鼓励年轻藏人继续为自己所关心的议题发声。美国之音墨语华盛顿报道。
星期三表示，他不支持动用现役军人平息和平抗议中出现的骚乱。此前，特朗普总统威胁要派遣军队镇压席卷全美的大规模抗议活动。
星期三，在美国主要城市继续出现主要是和平的大规模抗议活动，数以万计的民众违反宵禁命令，不顾新冠疫情威胁，对种族主义和警察暴力表示愤慨。这个星期早些时候，美国总统特朗普威胁援引一项法律，允许他授权现役部队无需各州州长同意而平息抗议活动。国防部长艾斯珀挑战总统的威胁，称现役部队只应在最紧急和最严峻的情况下动用。
We are not in one of those situations now. I do not support invoking the Insurrection Act.
星期三上午， 埃斯珀命令200名被部署到华盛顿的现役士兵在两天的和平示威发生后返回营地，但是他在白宫开会几个小时后又突然推翻先前的决定。埃斯珀还避免了和特朗普到白宫附近教堂手举圣经留影的访问。在这次访问之前，警察用闪光手榴弹和化学喷雾剂驱散了示威人群。此举以及特朗普对抗议活动的整体处理方式损害了他的支持率。
We're in the middle of social unrest as intense as we've seen since the 1960s. This is not a good atmosphere and environment for a president to run for re-election. So he's going to have to do a lot of things to get back on track and perhaps to become the front runner again, because as of today, he is not the front runner.
骚乱的出现源于乔治·弗洛伊德之死。这名黑人被一名白人警官用膝盖压着他的脖子超过八分钟后死亡。包括卡特、小布什和克林顿在内的所有健在的美国前总统都表示了谴责。前总统奥巴马在一个虚拟市政厅大会上督促市长们审查各自城市中的武力使用情况。
That was a far more representative cross-section of America out on the streets peacefully protesting and who felt movedto do something because of the injustices that they had seen.
抗议活动凸显了美国种族不平等的多种体系。
And that's connected to housing, it's connected to employment, it's connected to public schools. We often talk about public school to prison pipeline. So it's not just about sentencing or bad policing or police cameras.There's so many people out in the streets because something is fundamentally wrong and broken in the system for millions of Americans.
明尼苏达州警官德里克·肖文的罪名已提高至二级谋杀，这是指缺乏预谋的故意谋杀。现场的三名警官被控协助和怂恿谋杀案。美国之音维达·库斯瓦拉，华盛顿报道。
美国各州逐渐重启经济，但是专家们依然担心新冠疫情会继续蔓延。与此同时，抗议示威也席卷全美，迫使一些病毒的检测点关闭。来看报道。
西北大学全球卫生研究所所长罗伯特·莫菲博士在封锁措施下的芝加哥住所办公室里观察着整个美国的动荡时，开始怀疑大家是否突然忘记了全国正在应对危险的新冠疫情。
COVID doesn't care about politics. It just likes to jump from person to person. So you're putting yourself at risk.
这也是芝加哥市长莱特·富特在每天例行发布会上向公众反映的信息。这一天也是他在推进放松城市限制计划的同一天，尽管动荡仍在继续。
That risk is real. It is present, and it will be with us for the foreseeable future. And you need to take the precautions, not only just to protect yourself, but for others in your network, in your home that you care about, because now.You are at heightened risk of COVID-19.
This is just setting us backwards. So instead of being able to control the virus, like we had hoped, now it's either going to plateau, maybe go up a little bit, but whatever it is, it's pushing us way down the timeline.
不断增加的暴力和破坏风险迫使伊利诺伊公共卫生部门暂时关闭了社区新冠检测设施。延迟了阳性测试结果的通知，干扰了医学界追踪病毒传播的能力。
It'll obviously go down because we're not testing as many people. People are afraid to go out. You can't even get anywhere near the downtown. And you know, just there's flare-ups all around the city. So you know, people they're staying home now more than ever.
拉什大学医学与传染病副教授林博士说，当人群消退时，检测可能会恢复到抗疫前的水平，但是美国最近的动荡对病毒传播的影响不会很快被认识到。
If there's any spike, it may happen, you know, sometime about a week or 2 weeks after the gatherings, and that's usually about the time it takes for the infection to incubate, manifest symptoms, and become severe enough so that people.End up needing hospital care.
但是林博士给人们带来了一线希望。他说，病毒在抗疫人群中传播可能受限。
We know that a lot of spread tends to happen in indoor areas where there's poor ventilation. In the outdoors, with the air blowing around, there may be less risk of spread. With the sun being out, you know, UV rays can actually also kill the virus. But when it comes to transmission, it's really difficult to predict.
示威现场的视频显示，口罩的使用广泛但不普遍。口罩可以限制病菌进入空气中。
So it only works if everybody is wearing a mask.
随着美国新冠病毒感染的数量接近200万，一些美国人在行使示威权利的同时，权衡了健康风险。同时，民意测验数据仍显示，多数人认为抑制新冠病毒应作为优先事项。美国之音记者法拉报，芝加哥报道。
全国各地的抗疫持续不断，但是美国正在慢慢摆脱新冠疫情的危机。州长们告诉国会议员，重新开放美国的第一阶段进展顺利，但是仍然需要更多的资源。
全国各地城市成千上万的民众在游行，人群密集引发关注，担心抗疫活动可能造成第二轮新冠疫情。白宫新冠病毒特别工作组负责人说，扩大测试范围将有助于防止病毒扩散。
So that the individuals who are involved in the peaceful protests can get tested and really know their status before they unknowingly spread it.
新冠病毒在美国夺去了15,000多人的性命，对有色人种的影响尤为严重。随着抗议活动的进行，八个州和哥伦比亚特区的选民在星期二的初选中要保持社交距离。这是所有50个州分阶段重新开放公共场所的一部分。科罗拉多州为重新开业欢呼。该州州长告诉议员，科罗拉多需要知道在重新开放的过程中他将获得什么资源。
If we're going to plan in coordination with our federal partners, we need to make sure we have all the cards on the table. Everybody knows exactly what we're going to get when, what we're not going to get when, and then the states try to fill in the holes.
一些州和地方领导人表示，如果病毒秋季回潮，春季的居家令将不再是选项。
We can't go back and say we're going to all be shut down. We've got to go into the fall, recognize there could be another wave, but we can't go back into sheltering in place.We have to be able to manage through this risk, and that is through the testing, that is through the contact tracing, and that's through the social distancing until we get a vaccine.
自从居家令导致大部分经济停滞以来，已有超过4000万美国人申请失业救济。国会民主党人说，到目前为止，已经通过的超过3万亿美元的援助仍然不够。
I think we need a big, strong, bold bill. I support COVID for.
但是参议院共和党人希望稍等片刻，看看已经通过的援助是如何运作的，并称他们将在7月份考虑增加纾困金。美国之音吉普森华盛顿报道。
由于目前依然没有新冠疫苗，许多人认为美国人在11月3日投票选举总统时仍然需要保持社交距离。与此同时，通过邮寄投票和缺席投票的规则成了新冠病毒期间政治斗争的重点。
新冠病毒以及随之相伴的社交距离，为那些想通过邮寄投票扩大美国选民能力的人提供了助力。特朗普总统则带头反对。
Mail-in ballots are very dangerous. There's tremendous fraud involved and tremendous illegality.
特朗普威胁要停止向密西根和内华达提供联邦资金，因为这两个州向所有登记选民发送了缺席选票的申请表。
You can't do that. You got to go and vote.People have to check you. They have to see that it's you. They're supposed to look at you and check you.
专家说，通过邮寄投票欺诈的情况很少见。民主党人担心新冠疫情将阻止选民前往投票站。
We want to have more money for our election vote by mail initiatives.
总统表示，扩大邮寄投票将有利于民主党，这意味着再也选不出共和党人。
The Democrats think, perhaps with reason, that their voters are more apt to their vote is more apt to be enlarged by making voting easier. Republicans probably feel, perhaps with reason, that impediments and difficulties are a kind of filter to keep the less ardent voters at home.
研究表明，邮寄投票不会给任何一方带来优势。
The universal experience of vote by mail states and no excuse absentee voting states is that allowing that additional means of voting increases turnout across the board for both Democrats and Republicans by about 8 percentage points.
缺席投票始于1864年，当时美国内战双方的各州都允许士兵从战场上投票选举总统。 自那时以来，各州对于服役、残障和选举日州外旅行等原因都允许缺席投票。俄勒冈州于1998年成为第一个通过邮寄方式投票的州，华盛顿、科罗拉多、犹他和夏威夷等州也紧随其后。29个州允许进行无请假缺席投票，也就是任何提出要求的人都可以得到满足。现在仍然需要提出有效理由的16个州中，有很多州把新冠病毒也算了进去，但不是所有的州。
Voters shouldn't have to risk their safety and their health and the health and safety of their loved ones in order to exercise their fundamental right to vote.
威斯康辛州拒绝推迟4月份的初选，大约有40万选民参加了投票，至少有36名选民和选举工作人员新冠病毒检测呈阳性。美国之音雷迪什华盛顿报道。
病毒流行期间，大多数人都居家防疫。不过对于大卡车司机来说，他们依然要1天24个小时都在路上。我们跟着记者一起去了解一下。
My truck is a Kenworth truck. There's two of us. The truck never stops. It only stops for fuel.
他们是长途运输的主力，方向盘后面的男人和女人以及他们驾驶的大卡车重达36000公斤。帕瑟拉开的是18轮大卡车，他为联邦快递拉了2个拖车，这是他的卧铺，在驾驶座后方的空间。
This is our home away from home. Coffee pot, supplies, a bed.
由于商店和道路旁饭馆的关闭，他不得不在冰箱里存放家里的剩菜。特拉开了11个小时的车后休息30分钟，再由第二位司机接手。他在另一位司机开车时睡觉，他们称之为水平移动。
And here's all the horses.
帕瑟拉多次开进休息站，淋浴间都因为疫情关闭，大部分商店的洗手液、湿巾和口罩都卖完了。他的副驾驶的妻子送给他这个自制口罩。
You know, when you're in a truck cooped up all the time, there's not much room for the germs to go. You're right there together all the time. So if one of us gets sick, the other one's going to be sick.
I've been a truck driver since 2008.
托尼·法兹尼是美国中大西洋地区的当地货运司机。
We've hauled all kinds of different things. Like, for instance, I just dropped off a load of wooden pallets.At a Kraft Foods.
他每天开14个小时的车，在夜幕低垂时回家。新冠疫情使得城市地区的交通不再阻塞，这会让卡车司机产生一种奇怪的感觉。
I'll be on the interstate and look over to the shopping mall and the parking lot's deserted. And the roads are, there's no traffic out. At the end of the world were to happen, this is kind of like what it would be like.
卡车司机可能有点孤单，不过他们知道自己做的事情对国家福祉至关重要。
If the trucks don't move, the hospitals don't get supplies, the doctors don't get the PPE, no one gets anything. The world will come to a screeching halt.
在新冠病毒大流行的时期，还有更多的无名英雄正在默默付出。美国之音普雷苏蒂报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。